If I could have your attention here in the media center, we are now joined by Dale Earnhardt Jr., driver number 88, Mountain Dew Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. Dale, making your final laps around Talladega Super Speedway, a place that's very special to you. How special is this weekend going to be for you overall?
Well, you know, it is a track we've had a lot of success at, and we've been, you know, looking at this race as a great opportunity for us to come in and get an awesome run or finish and maybe a win. So just been focusing on the car and trying to get the car to be as good as possible, make sure it's driving the way we need to drive it so we can be aggressive in the race. And, you know, all the usual things that you think about and are concerned with on any given race weekend, that's what we're dealing with. Haven't really thought beyond the usual emotions and anticipations that you have every race. So, but I do know this place has been great to me, and definitely was. We got a lot of fans and that come see us run here because they see it as a great opportunity to see us run well. So there's some there's consistent, you know, I wouldn't call it pressure, but there's motivation to do well and run hard for all the folks that have come to see it happen. So I'm sure there's a few extra here for this particular weekend, considering it's our last trip here, and so that's more motivation. So I'm excited, looking forward to the race to get started on Sunday, and hoping we can get up there and give everybody that's going to be pulling for us a reason to cheer, and hope they leave the track Sunday satisfied.
Okay, if you have a question for Dale, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start with Mike and then go to Dustin and then to Bob.
Mike Hemmer, USA Today. Dale, we know one big thing you're going to do next year. What other retirement plans do you have? Going to do a cruise to Kannapolis or, you know, some big trip? Or what are the plans that you got on the docket?
There's no plans. I wish I had something to tell you, but I'm going to, considering that I've never, you know, worked as a broadcaster before, I'm going to spend all my time trying to prepare myself. NBC is going to connect me with and put me in front of people that can help me get prepared for that job and understand the work that I need to do and should do to stay prepared. And I got to learn all that in a short period of time. And so I'll be pretty busy doing that to make sure when I go to work in July that I'm ready and I feel confident and can do a good job. So other than that, can't really think of anything that stands out that y'all might have interest in other than just my sister bought some property. She was living on the inside the gate out there where we're at, and she bought some property down the road. So I'm moving my mom into Kelly's house, and she's excited about that. So we've been working on that. Amy's been helping with that, and that's been a really fun experience because mom's just over the moon about it. And so that's been a fun little project for us. And as soon as she gets moved in there, maybe on one of my first weekends away from the track, we'll get have a pool party or something. That's probably about as exciting as it's going to be.
Okay, we're going to go to Dustin, then to Bob, then to Claire, then to Kelly.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Dale, what are you going to miss about plate racing?
You know, it's hard to say because it's you either love it or you hate it. it seems like there's no middle ground. I always enjoy coming to the track and trying to figure out what's working in the draft and what's changed. And as you change the cars, and we're going to have a brand new Camaro next year, how's that going to, you know, how will that work in the draft? And I always kind of like to find that out. And, just being able to make moves and find your way up toward the front and, you know, that's always fun when you do something that your team gets excited about, or the fans that are watching get excited about. I'll miss that. You know, running a track wide open, don't do that too much. It's pretty fun. I'll miss that. And you know, they're so, you know, the tracks are so impressive, the size and the, you know, how the cars race around them. I'll miss that a little bit, but I still come and watch it and still get an understanding and of exactly how the cars are working and how the draft is working, and I'll see things visually that stand out to me and help me understand what's going on, but never will be able to replace that actual experience of doing it. I don't. You know, I don't know that I'll miss one more than the other. I really enjoy racing here. I really enjoy racing at Martinsville. Two completely different style of events and disciplines, and I'll miss a little bit of something about every place that we run at. All the tracks have character and personality, and the locations themselves and experiences in and around the event, and you know, there'll be a lot of reasons to miss all the tracks and competing on them, and even the road courses.
We'll go to Bob, then the Claire B, then the Kelly Crandall, and then Jim Utter.
Bob Pocker, CSPN. I have never heard a driver say that they wanted to wear the helmet cam because it would motivate them to make moves, like you said on your podcast.
Yep.
Are you just different than other guys that you need something else to motivate you when you're out there? And what is it about being just kind of part of the showman type aspect of it that makes you want to have it?
Yeah, I wanted to wear it one time before the end of the year. So if I talk, you know, if we saw it next year, I could talk about it and, you know, with some experience. You know, it adds a little weight to the helmet and just, you know, we're working on the visor to create some visibility, fix and correct some visibility issues with the mirror and other things. I'm hoping to run it. I'm making adjustments on it now. We're going to run it again tomorrow in qualifying, but if I can't get it to where I can see the way I want, I'm not going to race it. But I've always felt like that, no, you know, if it motivated you, bring it on, you know, add it to the puzzle. And I know that when we come here, for example, people want to see us go to the front. People want to, you know, our fans want to see us take the lead as fast as we possibly can take it. They want to see us in the lead every lap. And I can see in the grandstands the reaction when we have taken the lead and come around the turn four on the front straightaway. So that's motivating. I know that that's there, and that pushes me all day at these plate tracks to do as much as I can to get into the lead and stay there. And anything that motivates you, I think you should welcome, and I thought that the helmet cam would do the same thing. Folks at home could be seeing what we're seeing, and I'd want to be able to show them something that was interesting. And so I don't think it'll make me drive any differently. I just know that it's anything that motivates you is good for you. So add it all on, and the more the merrier for that.
Go next to Claire B., then to Kelly, then to Jim, then to Chris Knight.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. I have two quick questions. I'll put them quickly into one. The first is if you could talk about Amy driving the pace car, which is really cool. And the second is, people seem to like you being opinionated, as you have been lately. How opinionated do you intend to be on television, since you do sort of sway the fans and they kind of go where you go? Have you thought about how opinionated you'll be able to be on TV?
Well, there's a fine line. To be able to understand what is going on in the sport, to know what you need to know and have as much information and knowledge about what's happening down in the garage, you got to have great connections with all those drivers, crew chiefs, and so forth. And I've had conversations with some of the broadcasters, and you have to be careful about how you how you speak about individuals, because they take that stuff personally. Being a driver, I'm the same way. And you need that connection and be able to have that instant communication. And they can shut that off if they don't want to deal with you. So, I think being honest is great, but there is a such thing as being too critical, and I think that I'll have to learn what that is, and you know, I won't be perfect right out of the gate, and I won't get it right every time, and even when I am opinionated, I always end up learning something. Either there's more to it than what I initially thought, or you hear a little bit about the other argument or the other side of the argument. But I don't know if that's really what people like about me, is the fact that I'm that opinionated. I think that sometimes being a bit too opinionated can get yourself into trouble. But I'll just see how it goes. I really, you know, I think we were if I been watching Tony Romo, and if I'm half as good as he is, I'll be happy. I mean, that guy is just awesome, and he's doing such a great job. And he sounds like he's sitting right there next to you on the couch, just talking about the game with you, you know, like a best friend. And it's easy to listen to, and he does such a good job with it. He doesn't try to be anything he's not. And hopefully, if I can maintain that, and certainly I'll get better with more reps, just like anything else. The more you do it, the more confidence you get in yourself. I think the main thing for me is just building confidence, and that's going to start with being prepared and working in those initial 6 months of the first of next year to try to be prepared as I can. So, but I don't, you know, I think they hired me to be myself, and I'll try to get in there and keep that going. But but I know that just knowing what Jeff went through with a few guys and talking to Letart and listening to their advice, it's you know, you just don't jump in there and just get all critical on the drivers and stuff, because that'll make you a lot of enemies in the garage, and you need those relationships to have that ability to communicate and stay up to date on what's happening in this sport. So if you if you're hacking on the drivers, they're going to stop dealing with you and not want to talk to you.
What about Amy driving?
Oh yeah, yeah. you know, I don't know who was more excited about that, me or her, but she asked me about it and said, "What do you think?" I said, "Man, if you get an opportunity and if you get asked to do that, you have to do it." I know a lot of people I know a lot of fans are probably like, "What? I don't understand how she got that opportunity." But they wouldn't turn it down either, you know? So I told her to go for it. She's excited. It makes me happy that she even thinks it's cool. And Kelly drove the pace car for the late model race, and that was a great experience for Kelly. And so I was happy about it. Like, man, yeah, go do it. That sounds like a great. That just sounds like something fun to do, and nobody would really want to turn that down. So hopefully she's you know, it's a good experience for her that day, and I'm sure she's going to do fine. I don't know. Probably anybody in this room should be able to do it at Martinsville.
We'll go next to Kelly, and then we'll go to Chris Knight.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Dale, speaking of motivation, you said in your appreciation clip this week that after winning the July Daytona race, that kind of led to some other success, including here at Talladega, because you wanted to prove to people that it wasn't a fluke in the sense of those who called it, you know, said that your car was illegal. How badly and how long did that stick with you when it came to running at Daytona and Talladega?
I Mike Davis he used to work for Jimmy Spencer, and Jimmy Spencer is the guy that got out of his car that night after that race and said, "Boy, that's fishy how good that car was." And Mike, we used to work for Jimmy Spencer, and he has two of Jimmy's diecasts on his cabinet in his office. And every time I walk in that office and see those diecasts, that's the only thing I think about. So it bothers me today. You know, I don't know. You know, a lot of times, myself included, you don't think before you speak. But that was an incredible night for us in 2001 when we won that race. And I just felt like that, even if he did feel that way, I was disappointed that he that he would do that and say that. And for us to come back here the next race and win and then have success over the next several years, sort of was like, hey, you know, it's not a it wasn't a one race fluke or an illegal car. That's just how good our program was at the plate tracks. If you guys remember that the partnership that we put together with Petrie and RCR and all that stuff was geared directly toward making our plate cars better. And those three teams, even Petrie's stuff, was amazing at the plate tracks, always running up front. So, but I just was like, man, you know, of course, you know, it's Jimmy Spencer. It's the kind of thing he does. But I never really liked that too much and haven't forgotten about it. I guess you can't, hard to forget something like that. But it was nice to come, you know, it was nice to keep winning and show people that that was legit. Because that was like, for me, you know, that's the stuff movies are made of. To come back there after Dad passed away and win that race was just the greatest thing I could imagine happening for me. So, or anybody else, all his fans, all our family. I mean, all our family back home, his brothers, sisters. That was a big deal to all them, you know. It was a crazy experience.
Go next to Chris.
Chris Knight at Trends.com. Dale, how will stage racing change the complexity of this race on Sunday? What do you think we can expect it being in a restrictor plate race and the first time we're seeing stage racing in the playoffs? And are you an advocate to see any changes for stage racing at all next year as far as maybe caution laps not counting or something along those lines?
Yeah, I really don't have an opinion right now. I mean, I'm sure it could change, but I don't think the drivers I don't hear much about that from the other drivers in conversation. I know the fans do talk about it as far as the caution laps counting and so forth. But in the car, it don't really feel like the cautions are any longer or longer than normal. I've gotten really accustomed to it and think it's really helped the sport. I don't know how you make it better. I'm sure you could if you thought about it. But I think it's really improved the races and made them more exciting and intense inside the car. And I assume if that's going on, it's transcending out, you know, across the television or into the grandstands, and people are seeing that intensity. So I kind of like it, but I don't really know how it's going to affect the race on Sunday. I know that it was a little funky in Daytona at the 500. Guys were pitting early and so forth, and I don't know what you'll see. I think it'll be similar to what, you know, the races look like at Daytona, and they should run pretty traditional to what we've seen over the last several weeks. I don't know that anybody will be pulling any crazy strategy or going really outside the box. I mean, especially these guys are in a chase. When you're in the playoffs, it's hard to go outside the box. You know, you just do what everybody else in the playoffs are doing, unless you're a guy that's got to, you know, throw a Hail Mary.
Dale, before we continue on here, I've got Russell Branham at the Speedway. Grant Lynch, you guys have a lot of special guests with you today, so why don't you come and introduce.
Yeah, we're thrilled today to have the board of directors from the International Motorsports Hall of Fame. Of course, he said Grant Lynch, our chairman. Senator Gerald Dial, who's the chairman of the board of the International Motorsports Hall of Fame. So we'll get them just to sit down for a second, and Grant's got a few things he wants to go over first.
First off, Dale, this is your retirement tour, so to speak, and I don't know anywhere you can go that there's any more people that have loved what you do at that racetrack. Your dad was the same way here, and on behalf of everybody at Talladega, all the race fans, millions of race fans that watched you race here, we just thank you for what you've done. Watching you go to the front, you've said it before, you can hear it in the car, and it's just a thrill to have been here and watch you and your dad throughout the years. And so then you say, okay, what do you do for somebody arguably has got everything he needs? So you say, well, let's try to give him something he doesn't know he needs, but he might want. So we have here, Russell's going to unveil them, Erskine Funderburk with our White Flag Club. He has always helped us in Victory Lane, and we always have produced more champagne bottles than we use. You sprayed a lot of those in your career. The first one here is the same champagne bottle we gave. This is senior, right?
Yes.
This was the bottle your dad sprayed, just came out of the same box your dad sprayed on his last victory here. Erskine gave us this one back from his collection. He snuck out of victory lane. So give Erskine some credit for giving this up. So this is the first one.
Nice.
And we know what you think about history. This is an exact bottle that you sprayed at your first victory here. And Erskine gave us this for your collection too.
Nice. Y'all guys stand up.
Here. Grab this one. Senator, stand up real quick.
Get the other one,
Senator Dial's coming in just a minute.
Grant, get the other.
I'll get that. Thank you, Russell.
Y'all hold it up.
Okay, am I doing right, Russell?
Everybody look, say cheese, straightforward. All right. Let's see.
Now, here comes the Russell play. Get ready.
There you go.
You want me to give Dale Jr. a Matchbox car, and he's already signed it?
Yeah, he signed it for me last year. We came here when he was part of the Alabama game. Remember
that's
that?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Senator Dial, well, don't you think you can take
Grant,
over at this point?
Let me say something. I think we can do better than that. I think we can do a lot better. Dale Jr., you're the epitome of Talladega and Alabama. You have really put us on the map. You are an Alabamian. Not by birth, but by adoption. You know the governor has declared Sunday Dale Earnhardt Jr. Day, and that's a great honor. So we're excited about being here. My board is here. We chair the International Motorsports Hall of Fame board across the street, and we think that we can do a little better than this, because we're gonna ask you to step outside. But let me tell you, you talk about what you're going to do. You could get in politics, but don't come back and run about against our governor. We love her. Run somewhere else. But we think politics would be a great thing for you. You could lead a lot in that arena, and we look forward to seeing your future. But we won't step outside. We think we might make a little better than a
I'd like to ask if Dale and Grant and Senator, y'all would wait here just a second. All my media, if you go out, I've got people out there that's going to show you exactly where to go. Okay? Grant, you hold them right here. Grant, Dale, y'all stay for a second. Stay for a second. Let's let the media get out there first and get set up. I know you are. All media, if you would, go ahead and go out. In about 45 seconds, we're going to go outside. Go ahead and get set up. There's stanchions out there. Please remain behind the stanchions.